This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and we will be having a conversation today about this marital rape thing. Mind you, it's not inside the news. It's not trending. It's not flashy anymore. Even though we were promised a cadre of laws to be passed, right? So I've been waiting. I've seen that 1 month gone by, 2 months gone by, 3 months gone by, and I noticed that the debate has gone mute. And I say, Christmas coming, and we won't have any bill or any law to say that it's illegal for a man to rape their wife. So I was saying, babe, I might as well bring it up. I was going to bring it up and remind people that, hey, we was promised something. We was promised all kind of bills, and we still waiting. We waiting on debates. And in order to have this discussion, I have my guessos. Catherine's back. She was on vacation the other day, and she's back. And she's going to help me with this dialogue and this conversation. Now, mind you, I'm going to have a different type of conversation today because I brought in a male activist, a man activist, a man's man. You know when you get them true man who you say, boy, I respect him. He's a man right there, not a manny. He is a Christian fellow. And you can see the Christianity on his face when he walks into the room. He humbles himself. He tries and works hard to be that man of God. He thirsts the idea of being holy. So he has some opinions about this marital rape proposal law, right? And of course, it's from a Christian perspective. And his goal today is to convince me of his position. Now, mind you, he's running late. And I say, Catherine, you're going to start this and give you that monologue on why you believe marital rape should be a law. I don't see the big deal still, but I agree that no man supposed to be taking advantage and abusing his wife. So as I wait for Mr. Dave Williams, right, I will yield to Catherine to let her pitch her position on why the Bahamas needs to pass this law now, when I don't know one any woman. I mean, they say they're there, but I just don't know any woman who complains that their good husband forced them to do anything.
Well, I missed you so much. I haven't seen your face in so long. It's good to be here. And yes, we can hear each other on the speakers now. And I was just talking to some guys dropping deliveries to my house this morning, and they mentioned the subject is up, and they're like, you're talking about that again? And as you just said, this is still going on. It's not trending anymore. It's not cool in the news for days, for months. No, this has been going on for years, for decades, for centuries. These issues that have subjugated women and allowed systematic abuses not to be legalized against have gone on. So we are going to continue to talk about it, not because it's cool, but because it's necessary, because the fixing of affirm equality and the protecting of our vulnerable people, our women, our children, our families, our men, our sons, our daughters,
but
our
Catherine,
futures. No, no, wait
women
one second.
Subjugated though? You just said that women in the Bahamas are subjugated, and I had to stop you right there. Because I think women are free.
If they are to be free, then let us legally make it so on the books. This is not a new law. You kept saying that we're passing these marital act laws. No, this is an amendment to the law. It is already accepted that within marriage, abuses can occur, assaults can occur. You can be charged for hitting your wife with a fist, for hitting her with other objects, for hurting her in other ways. This is an amendment that says that also within marriage, the abuse of rape, of sexual assault can occur, and that should be something that they can legally have a voice on. Single women can have a voice on whether or not they are raped, whether or not they're violated within marriage. Married women cannot. Married women do not hold equal rights in the country. It is also with the status of their children. If they're married and born abroad and they have a foreign husband, it is not the fact. And this is a marital rape thing that people say it comes up from time to time when there's nothing else filling the news. No, this is a reality that women live with all the time.
I know, and Catherine, I brought you back because your perspective, and you're definitely firm in your belief. But at times when you speak, you sound like an angry woman.
No, but this is not...
Are you mad at us men? Are you just jealous because you don't have the same body parts, and therefore you're trying to victimize us and put us in a position where, truthfully, we just being men?
I actually thank you for saying that, because whenever a woman speaks up with their opinion, they're like, she's watching Wakanda again. It's happening. And I am not angry. I wish I were not. I would like to be angry on behalf of any woman that suffers the violent, humiliating, dehumanizing act of rape. I would like to be offended for any child that suffers abuse. I would like to be angry on behalf of any man that suffers any kind of physical abuse or injustice. Injustice is something that we should use our Christian anger towards. That is where it should be put. Yes, so if you would like me to take on that role, I can. But I'll say, if we are going to talk about men leading here, and you said the man coming as a Christian, and Mr. Williams does tremendous work in the community. He volunteers. He leads male groups.
That's why he should be a good guest. Because he don't see it. He just don't see what you was trying to say.
And they just had a whole week honoring men. I, too, deeply honor men that are men in the truest sense of the Christian word, that show the love that a Christian man should, that show the leadership in the Christ-defined role of leadership, which is service above self, which is the first be last and last be first. I truly honor those men. I truly honor marriage. I believe in marriage. I'm married. I'm a baby married. I've only been married a decade. I would happily cut my husband's toenails and make him his Popeyes repeat. It was Chick-fil-A imitation sandwich I had to make him the other night. In honoring him, I think that the marriage is essential to... Oh, good morning, Mr. Williams is here. Is essential to the protection of the family, to the bringing up of our children, to the taking care of our elderly, that the wider family is that which we need to solve the social ills of our country. But we do have our guest has come in, so let's allow a moment to introduce
him. Just hang up already? Okay. Yeah. Nicola, oh, no, he hung up. Okay, good. Close the door for me, Catherine. I'm sorry. Sure. But Mr. Williams, welcome, and thanks for coming in, because I know we got confused with our schedules, yes. But I appreciate that you were able to come in and express your views. And before you come, Catherine was expressing her opinion about marital rape. And that's why we brought you in. We wanted to hear a Christian perspective, a man's perspective. And Catherine saying a woman should not be abused. And I want to know, because your angst, your concern, are you saying that women should be abused? Is that what the position of Christian men in the Bible?
I'd like to take that question from you before you give it to Mr. Williams and say that I'm so relieved you are here, because I know you to be a man of integrity and upstanding in the community. And it just is something that I can't wait to hear the Christian male point of view that can have any problem with a law that protects the women in marriage. I would rather not be here today. If we had true Christian men leading up the household in a way that is Christ-like, that says that they first serve in love, because that's what Christian leadership is and defined as in the Bible, that they love in the way that Corinthians lists love, which is not puffed up, which is not rude, which is caring in a way that puts the self underneath. If this is all true, how in any way can you say that there is a problem with this amendment that would further protect women and children in a fallen world? If we all lived in a world that was ideally Christian, in which sin did not occur, no law would have to exist. No man-made law would have to exist, because neighbors would not abuse neighbors. We would not rob from each other. We wouldn't have Bitcoin scandals. We wouldn't have abuse within marriage. We wouldn't have child abuse. Husbands would not hit wives. So why is this an issue to say, why aren't Christian men standing up and saying, Mr. Williams, we'd like to make sure, as our heads of the household, as leaders, that they are protected in all ways, and this includes an amendment to the law for those who do not live a Christian lifestyle within marriage?
First of all, I want to say good morning. It's a pleasure once again to be back here on Guardian Radio, Dave Williams. First, as from the Christian perspective, and I attended the recent marital rape seminar. I also sat as a panelist on one they had early in the year at Bahama. So from a Christian perspective, I support the fact, the idea that a male, or well, in the case here, we have to say a man can rape his wife. And to the extent that as long as there's physical violence, then I believe that, yes, you can rape your wife. Now, I also recognize on the other side of the spectrum, there are individuals who talked about one body belongs to the other. But in my opinion, when one initiates any type of physical harm, whether it's the male or the female, upon the male, then I believe right there we would have violated the Christian principles, because in a case of love, marriage ought to be built, as we all know, on love. Yes, there are broken men and women. Yes, there are challenges. But my view has been protection for the male. You use a key word there where you said in a broken and a fallen world. And so as a result of a broken and a fallen world, here's what happens. You have cases where women would deliberately report rape of a male. And as a result of it, his career almost finished. Now, I sat on a panel earlier with a number of persons at Bahama, and that question came up. The last seminar we went to Breezes, they did not mention this. At the time, they were discussing 1 year. I vigorously oppose that, because a good marriage can take place January to November. And all of a sudden, the marriage goes bad. And then a lady, a wife, reports, oh, I was raped. And as a result of that experience, when did this happen? March. Now, Magistrate Cleopatra Christian, I can say this on the radio, her response while I was on that panel was this. She said, but the prosecutor, the Attorney General office has to look at the case and weigh the evidence. And as a result of it, decide to go forward for prosecution. But the downside of that is that when that individual, the charge is made, the police comes to the home, remove the male, the damages it caused to his children, one, the neighborhood, but even the larger society. So as a result of it, he's off his job. Two, CA Newry is no longer going to invite me now to come on the radio and talk about marital rape, because I just get charged now. With raping my wife.
No, you won't come back on the show after that.
Right. So a year or 2 years later, when I am declared innocent, my reputation is gone. I have lost my job. I have lost my income. So for me, and the other side of it too, is that we have to look at, and this is why measures have to be put in place to protect the male, because there are also some statistics, Pastor Dave Burrow shared it at the last forum, where a number of men who were actually incarcerated for rape. And it was proved later on that he didn't rape. So I do support the idea that, yes, you can rape your wife if there's any force that takes place. I support that. But my argument is, or my reasoning is, that there must be protection in place for the male, especially when there's a false report. What happens to the woman then?
And I want to counter that. Jack, I want to add to that, because I want to hear what you mean physical force. But before that, I have a caller who's been waiting for a while, and I want to engage that caller. But I want you to explain to me what you mean that once you see there is physical force, because surely a husband can rape his wife without physical force. And you say if there's no physical force, you don't necessarily believe that's rape. Join in. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good day, Captain Murray.
Good day, how you doing?
All right, sir. Good day to you and your panelist.
Good day. Good day.
I would like to, first of all, commend Mr. William for his response to your question. Mr. Lady took over the question first. And in the court of law, that would actually be called leading a witness, right? And I wanted, and in no harmful way, there's maybe like constructive criticism, but I agree with you fully and my psychoanalysis of the young lady on the show is that she is very upset and angry at men for some reason, and it kind of spills over, kind of almost like a...
You can sense it. Go ahead.
You asked a gentleman a question when he first came on the show, right?
Yes.
And she took over and she kind of stirred him in the direction she wanted him to go. And that's harmful, and that's what's going on in our society right now. Women, just want to control, no matter how much control you give them, they still want to control everything else and more and more and more. And I think the best thing for us to do as men is just give it all to them. Like I said, like if you want gender equality, then when we hear noise in the back of the yard at night when we lay down in bed, honey, get up. Go and get people who's walking around the yard. When the garden is trying to go, today is your day, darling. I could talk, I could do the things the lady could do, and then just let them come their way. Instead of all this back and forth with these women and all these equal rights and gender equality, because when you really look at it, women don't really want that. Women can't even handle that. And when I say that to say that God didn't make them to do this. And I think the, on behalf of rape, murder rape, if you play with dogs, you can get fleas. So trying to be a better person or be a better choice maker in who you find as your mate, because I don't even think this should be in the 21st century. This shouldn't even be a topic. And that shows how backwards and behind the Bahamas is. And our laws, policies, our thinking, everything. We are advanced. We're primitive. You know, but that might have been something you might have done in the 1800s or something like that. Mm. But to say in the 2000s, the new millennium, we're talking about a man actually raping his wife, or a wife being with a man would actually rape her. Think about it. The goal is over here.
Yeah.
Also, you finished, caller?
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate it. We're going to have Mr. Williams respond and be going straight to Catherine after that, because I still want to know. Thank you very much, caller. I still want to know what you mean by physical force. And then, Catherine, get ready, because I know you're itching. I know you're itching, because you know we men have a gift of discernment. We could tell an angry woman from far, but anyway, but let me have Mr. Williams on this theory about physical.
Right, and I'm specifically, when I'm talking about it, because I've done a number of the training in the gender-based violence. I had an opportunity to travel with CARICOM to get some training abroad, as well as with the IDB. But my point is, and one of the things that they always say, reap is reap, right? So in the case of, and I know, I remember one forum, this question was asked, the male, because we're talking husband and wife, right, marital rape. The male has penetrated. Am I allowed to use that word?
Yeah,
ma'am. Okay, right? And in the moment when he penetrates, biologically, he's reached what we call a point of no return. And she says, the wife says, oh, stop, right? We know that from a human perspective, and the doctors could speak more on that, at that point, it is not like he could stop and pull back whatever's being released from him.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that she says stop, because using the notion, no is no. So he can't stop and pull back what already released from him. And so now she says, hey, he raped me. So along it was fine, everything was going well. But all of a sudden, just when everything then released, she said, oh, stop, I don't want it no more. So that's from a biological perspective. The other way, and this is why I say that, in the case of, let's look at this scenario, the husband and the wife lay down and maybe how whatever they do to initiate the sexual activity, she's not responding or she's not for that. So he just, he's, well, okay, he maybe just lightly take off her clothes. She ain't put up no fuss, she ain't row him or nothing back. She just, and she lays back, she just lay there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He penetrates again, right? She don't respond, she ain't cry, she ain't say stop or nothing. And then she goes now and say, hey, he raped me. So this is why when I used the item and I talked about this force or this physical, this was referring to, that's the opposite side of it. But at the end of the day, he still is charged with rape.
Okay, watch Catherine now. Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, first of all, I'm so grateful for this opinion and for the caller, because he said exactly what is said often, is if you express your opinion as a woman, you're angry. And he, one of the things he points I absolutely agree with is that in the 21st century, this should not be a conversation. We should be past this. The only countries that are still hung up on this are countries that we would not want to be associated with. Places like Afghanistan, the Republic of Congo, Pakistan, that treat women like chattel, that treat them like they're serfs and enslaved. And so I agree that when he said, if the women want these freedoms, let them, when he said, go check the yard. No, I am happy to honor to follow, to support men in the roles that they were powerful. Even coming on the show today, knowing I was talking to Mr. Williams, I was nervous because he's a powerful Christian man. And in essence, we stand on the same side. I would say that I'm a Christian woman that wants to see a Christian nation survive with a family in a healthy state. And I'm a little disappointed with his viewpoint, only because I thought he was going to be someone that I was led to believe by my co-host that it would be someone who is opposed to marital rape even existing. And many people do that. If you go to these conferences and you have, there will be bishops that stand up and say you are demonic for bringing this up, that you're a liberated Jezebel, that you have no right to talk on this subject, that you're attacking the institution of marriage. And there is no one but me that has more of respect for marriage, that sees the necessity that it is to protect our society, our children, our futures, our grandchildren, our grandparents that need care for. Without the safety net that is the family, with the Christian ideal of family, our society crumbles. We have people being shot. We have killed. We have all my kids in Ramfley Home, which I've been involved with for over 14 years. I see what a broken family looks like, and I see what abused and raped boys look like. I see what men disrespected look like. I was listening to the Women's United talk where attorney Alexander Malis was presenting, and he said, listen, I have male clients that have been wrongly accused. They have come in and a girl has cold rape or someone is cold rape for the wrong reason, and that is why justice exists. And I completely agree that a year later I do not think you could come into a police station and fairly say I was raped. There has to be safeguards put on it that within 24, 48 hours, a few days, so that a rape kit can be gathered, so that interviews and police work and correct processes can be done to make sure this is fair. But just because things, the law can be weaponized, and this is the big boogeyman in the room, the law can be weaponized to affect innocent people. That is the case in any law. Any child can say an adult abused them and it not be truth. The law still has to exist for children to be protected. But
keep in mind that women, yeah, girls are raped by women too now.
Yes. No, that any kind of sexual abuse, mm-hmm, this is something that we can just legally put into practice. But this is not an attack on men. And I know that you honor men. My thing is, I want to know, how are we defining men in these scenarios? Are we talking about the Christian man that protects, that honors, that fights for? If we are, then I wouldn't be on the show. Men would be here and be like, if anyone touches our girls, we will come for them. We won't need the angry woman taking the microphone. Mr. Williams will be protecting our daughters and granddaughters.
And again, I want to challenge you. I want to put it in a different scenario, but I have two callers on the line. And what I want to challenge you about is the characterization of rape. Say, a good, decent man cannot survive after he has that label on him. His mentality has changed.
Yeah.
So the idea that his wife even accused him of such. We got straight to the caller. I just want to set it up so when you come back, you can respond. Yeah. Right? So imagine that Ms. Williams set up a scenario that your wife just laid there. And we had a case recently where she said she felt as if she was raped. She wasn't raped, but
those are not the cases where... I know you want to get to the caller.
Are terrified of it. And no one is addressing their fear about that. We're not even addressing, you mentioned that it should be some limitation or some guidelines, and this discussion of what are the possible guidelines is not being had. So definitely, without the absence of information, a number of men are terrified because no one is telling them this is going to be the preamble, these are going to be the outlines, this is going to be outskirts.
Those are not the cases we're talking about.
Well, of course.
We're not talking about a woman changes her mind in the middle of the night because she's mad at her husband for some reason.
That's just straight.
We're not talking about those cases.
We're talking about women
brutalized to the point where they can't walk,
Mentioned thus far. This is only talking about women who are being brutalized. They're not saying that. They're just saying rape. Now you add and say, hopefully that's what they talk about.
But rape at this present is time, a social, a moral. It's an integral brutalization of a woman in whatever case it is. There's no degrees of rape. It is what it is. But the case of a woman changing her mind after a night of sex with her husband, that is not what the law is
but
about.
Will the law prosecute? But let's go to the caller. I'm going to come back to that. Will the law prosecute for that? If she said, you know, I was laying there and he knew I was sleeping and he forced himself on me, or he did his husbandly duties, but I just did not consent. Will the law prosecute for that? And they, not yet, have we, men after men, have asked that, will the law prosecute? And no one has yet to say. We need good police work and good lawyers. Yeah, but at least tell us that that ain't going to be the case. Then we'll be okay. Yes. You only mean us, you know? But go ahead, caller. Forgive me for that. We've been talking so much. Go ahead, caller. Because Catherine Hart, she mad at me now.
Good morning, Mr. Neary and your guest.
Good morning.
Good
Good morning. Listen, I have a question for Mr. Williams. You made the scenario about the husband undressing the wife and the wife and just getting on and doing what he has to do, right?
Right.
That seems like a man who doesn't know his wife. Because, I mean, if it's a husband and wife relationship, if it's a marriage, you would know your wife. You should know when she will and when she won't. So if you go ahead and undress your wife and see her ain't moving, as the husband who is supposed to know his wife, and you continue on doing what you're doing, and you get charged with rape, in my view, I feel like you deserve it, because you should know, okay, if I touching her and she ain't responding, that means she ain't feeling it.
My God.
Let me back off. You should know your wife.
My
Lord. As same as the wife should know the husband. The same as if she come home, and she go in your pocket, she take your wallet, and she start $100 out, and she don't see you respond, she should know, listen, put that back in and you'll run today. A wife should know her husband. And I don't like the fact that anytime a woman is speaking up, everything comes to be, oh, she's an angry woman. No, she's not. She's passionate. She's not angry. When Mr. Williams speaks about men, I sometimes listen to him and I feel like he's an angry man.
He can look angry at times.
You know, I know Mr. Williams. And Mr. Williams, how is Sunshine doing, by the way?
All is well.
Thank you. So he knows now that I know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, I don't feel like we should label women speaking out as angry women. And any man who goes and gets himself labeled as really wrong for a woman to do it, and I need you guys to ask the university to do a test, you know, do a survey on men who was falsely accused, like how they did with women who was actually marital rape. So, you know, let's get that out of the way so we could know what the percentage
I don't think that's part of their agenda, but I understand what you're trying to say.
Yes.
That's not part of the narrative they're trying to push forward.
So they should, because then you're making it fair on both parties. You won't seem biased. Right now it seems biased, but and I'm a woman saying that. So I feel like to make it fair, let's see how much men was falsely accused before we go, because men seem to be very defensive as being falsely accused.
These men terrified. They're terrified.
Yeah.
Yes, it came back to me as one thing. Know your wife. Now, if you up and down the road all day long and all night long and in the church from morning till noon and don't spend time with your wife, then how would you know who she is and what she's about? Know your wife. So if you touching on she ain't responding, that means come off me before I grab something for you.
Okay, I have another caller. Thank you very much. Let me do that and crash on you next. Go ahead, caller. Caller,
hey,
can you hear me?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
And to your guest.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks. Let's see. Arguing left or right, arguing left or right at this conversation is just like arguing about the Bible. You understand? You ain't really never getting nowhere. But what we have to do, we have to go to the origin of the words, and then we probably could understand the meaning. First of all, rape, a man and a woman having sex is not rape. A man and a woman having sex is termed as sexual intercourse. Okay? That is the penetration. The word is sexual intercourse. The word raped comes from the Latin word raptus, repair. It comes from the Latin word repair, which means to seize, to steal, or to take away. Those are the definition. The modern definition of rape is some construct we men and people do. It also comes from the Roman word raptus. And that means, you ever hear the old people say, you rape and pillage a country? Or you rape and pillage a village, that is what really what rape means. Rape means you go in there, you seize it, you steal all the people's stuff, and you cart it away. When it comes to a female, a takeaway means the rape normally occurs before a marriage comes, because in Roman times and in ancient times, they would take the woman and take her away to marry her. That is called rape, when you take away. You understand? Not rape occurring inside. So what they need to do is get the correction of the word and use the words in the correct terminology. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. It's all you now, Catherine. Let me read this and then you can respond.
Go ahead.
You keep saying your co-host is angry. Why? I don't hear any anger in her voice. I hear two men bullying her. and demeaning her in a way that women always get labeled by men who don't respect them. Catherine, I like to say, I respect your
Lord. I actually have no problem with the word anger. Jesus got angry in the temple for righteous things, things that hurt our children. I'm not sure if you have granddaughters or daughters yet, but anything that hurts our children should anger us. I'm a mother of a daughter, yes, but also of a son. And yes, I'm fearful, like, what would happen if you're in this situation? If you ended up like this, you need to watch yourself. You have to make sure you're not exposed in this way. We're also completely flushing down the toilet any of diligent police and judicial and legal work that would follow these accusations. This is not just because you roll out of bed and decide your husband raped you the night before. Will he end up a decade in prison? I hear what we say about the malignment that could end up with reputations wrecked. But still, I mean, no law would exist if we worried about it being misused or weaponized. That is where we hope that we have justice and diligence within our country.
Are we concerned with
and the life of a nation is not secure when the nation, unless a nation is honest, truthful, and virtuous. Who said it? Frederick Douglass, about the abolition of slavery.
But Catherine, what about the sentencing?
I actually have something I want to read first.
Okay,
this is from a lawyer. He said, most men enjoy sex. I do. Enacting a law that protects women from marital rape is not going to end that. Rape is not about sex. It's about domination, control, power, and the horrific abuse perpetuated with the physical power to dominate or control another. In this instance, their spouse, the one they are commanded to love in the manner of Christ. In my 24 years practice of the matrimonial jurisdiction, I have seen horrific acts perpetuated against women by their husbands. To suggest that a woman cannot refuse her husband sexual congress, it suggests that she loses something of herself in marriage, her identity, her ability to decide when, where, or what, and this is clearly absurd, but you're not saying that, Mr. Williams. No. To advance this position would do more to damage marriage as an institution than any law protecting sexual abuse within marriage. Mr. Williams is, again, disappointing me because I wanted him to disagree with that so we could have talked about the fact that free will in marriage, Christianity doesn't exist without free will, and that's in every choice within marriage. The fact that marriage is a sacrament and is a divine thing in itself does not make the people entering into it sinless and always divine. We need to have these things that protect people. To use sacred scripture as a weapon and force subjugation of women, reducing them to vile, unchristian status of an object devoid of choice, devoid of free will, or devoid of dignity, is an abomination to God. And so basically we're saying we need men now to step up. If you want women to be quiet, if you want us to lead, to submit, to settle down, to be less angry because it doesn't go well with your morning coffee caller, then please, men, stand up, lead us, be brave, choose the Christian way that will protect us in every single way possible.
And I see we have more callers, Catherine, but the concern is, and I'm not addressing the concern.
The concern is that innocent men will be have.
No, that's not the concern. No. Not that innocent men. It's a characterization. There are sometimes that men misread their wives to say, okay, is she consenting or she's not consenting? But I'm going to go through it. She's my wife anyway. I'm going to go through it. And the idea of being labeled with it, right? Mm-hmm. And see, men at times cajole, I think that's the word, where they try to convince their wife, either sleeping or not in the mood, to say, hey, let me convince you, wife, that we should continue our relationship, our sexual relationship. And in that convincing, right?
There's any a miscommunication that
yes,
an and accusation then, of rape, then which the is idea, unfair and destroys a man's life.
The idea of, they don't even go to the court, you know. Mm-hmm. The idea of you trying to convince your wife and you're doing all these extra stuff, and she said, what, you're going to rape me? That is damaging to a man.
That
can ruin a man altogether.
No, that's a murder for character.
You know?
That is a murder for the character. And therefore, one of the things that's been put forward by, I hate saying women's group because it should be people group. It shouldn't be just women's group advocating for this. We should have the Christian men fighting this for us so we could stay home and cook them dinner, okay? I wish that was so. But one of the things said again is like, oh my gosh, I've lost my train of thought. What were we saying? The fact that
But we do have callers. Let me pass the caller through. And this text says, I'm sorry, this is really horrible to hear the way men are thinking. Women are not objects of sex. And as human beings, women do have rights and rights to say no. I feel like it's today a man should respect that. And in turn, wife can maybe give a reason as to not to leave the husband to wonder, etc., etc.
Okay,
but let's go to the caller
and then
have you respond after that. Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well.
That's good. The caller before the last, I think, made some good points when he talked about the origin of it and what have you. But I think that one of the things that has been misconstrued is well, first of all, let me say, I do agree with the force with rape generally, and I do disagree, sorry, with rape generally and those things happening. Rape is rape, and so forth, and the rest of it. When you're forcing a woman and so forth. When it comes to the sanctity of marriage, I think it is different, because then you have two people who are supposed to be agreeing in one thing. If something happens within that marriage, I believe that you already have laws in the books that will deal with that. The wife just have to go and report it, as the case may be. There's also the case, as was mentioned earlier, that if something were to happen between those two, that can be where, when you talk about she might not be in the mood or he's trying to get her in the mood, and so forth, that may be the way that they operate. As it was mentioned before, one of the guests said, the lady may have said that you should know your wife, or one of the callers said that you should know your wife.
Okay.
The same thing, the wife should know the husband. From the beginning of this thing, here's my main point, what I want to call on. From this thing started all them years ago, this has always been a one-sided conversation nationally. It is always the man raping the woman. And the woman cannot rape the man. According to our law books, I stand to be corrected if I can remember when I was studying the law. It's saying that a spouse should not be able to rape one another. Yes, that is the case. There was also a question that was asked. Can a woman rape her husband? Can a woman rape her husband?
This new law will address it.
I actually remember having the same conversation in 11th grade RE.
Let me finish. I know you're very... You know, you're eager to speak. From this conversation started nationally from years ago, it has been one-sided. Man raping the woman. Society has developed that over the years to an extent. I will go even to the extent to say that society has failed a lot of our men in a lot of ways because we did not take care of our men. You know what I'm saying? And yes, this is just one of the byproducts of that. But can a woman rape her husband? That is the same thing the question that needs to be answered. It's always one-sided man raping a wife. But what happens if a woman tries to rape her husband? Will we have the same action or reaction?
Thank you very much, Carla.
That's a question that needs to be asked.
I'll let Catherine respond to that. Go ahead.
And you know what? The fact that men are raped is a truth in the country. Again, I've worked with children's homes in the country since I was 22 and came back from university. And the young boys and that have been raped and abused by men and women, this is a truth. This wrecks and hurts my heart. Within marriage, it's simply a biological fact that there's a power thing put in there that means that the prevalence of men doing violence in a sexual way is more risk towards women than vice versa. Is it impossible? I'm not saying that. It could be possible. And I will say a lot, and I was starting to say the women's groups have put forward that there should be a severe punishment for any woman that falsely accuses a man. If the due diligence is done afterwards, if the investigation is done, it seemed to be a false accusation, the punishment should be severe because they're a damage towards other women that are actually hurt, that are actually battered. And there's two definitions of rape within marriage, force-led and battered. So there are different ways that it is defined within the law. But those are the women that are truly treasonous to womanhood. And that is something that, but that does not take away the fact that there are real victims that need to be protected. Okay?
And did we hear the music there, Catherine? That means we got to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to speak to Dave Williams. And before we have Dave Williams come in and respond to what Catherine said, I know you have an event soon. I want you to talk about the event, when it's going to be, how we can help you with that. And then we go back into our conversation about why Christian men are concerned about this, right?
Yeah. So let's take a short break. What are these relationships that we're so upset? We keep talking about a man should know a woman should know a man. And that goes into such a conversation of what we are doing wrong socially as the ills in the country within our relationships. That's a whole other show, CA.
Yeah, we got to bring you back to have that show. But we'll be right back.
One in every four people in the Bahamas face some level of food insecurity. Through our annual Feed 5000 program, AML Foods remains steadfast in our commitment to help those struggling with hunger and will donate 5,000 to provide holiday meals to families this Christmas. But we need your help. From November 14th to December 19th, show your support and donate at the register at any Solomon's, Costrite, Solomon's Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's locations in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The text says rape has to be proven in the court, so the gentleman concerns are not relevant for not including spousal rape in the law. And that's the general consensus about that. But before we continue our debate, I know that Mr. Dave Williams has an event, the last event for Men's Week.
Yes.
And I want to get some information about that, and then we'll continue our conversation. Go ahead and give us
No problem. Right. So what I want to say to you, International Men's Day is an organization formed to bring men groups together. Tomorrow, we're having a walkabout in the Rock Crusher area where we go into the community. We spend time in prayer with young men in particular, talking with persons. We also want to visit the mother of the young lady who was shot. And we want to go at that particular spot and just offer prayer for the community. And so what we want to do in that regard is meet tomorrow at Lightburn Avenue. On Lightburn Avenue, we want to meet tomorrow on the corner of Lightburn Avenue and Farrington Road, right by the Washoes and by the Island Lock place. And then we're going to walk into the community. Also, we'll be it'll be a part of a program that I'm working with called Embracing the Family. It's an urban renewal program where we're going to identify a number of families to support for Thanksgiving event next week, Thursday. And so this is what we want to do as men. And I just want to be clear, we have started this from early last year. So we have not been reactionary. In other words, we have went into communities talking and sharing. And when we go after murder take place, it's only as what we call a violence interrupter to reach out to others. And to encourage them that revenge is not the response. So that's the plan for Wednesday. And then Friday coming, there's a Stop the Violence concert at the park on Montel Heights. And someone may ask, why Montel Heights? Because we want to go into the community. This is what we want to do. We want to reach communities. And we have a number of the young men, Big Bro, Apostle Leroy Brown, Leroy Butler, Barry G, also Peter Ronks. And we're inviting, there's some miming groups. And we're inviting you too, if you wish to be a part of it. Call me on 433-6917. And so we want to use this as Stop the Violence concert to promote. We also partner with a number of pastors in the Montel Heights area as we seek to reach our young men, our young boys. And we're inviting as many persons, especially boys and men, to come down, be a part of it. And then Saturday, we have the award ceremony. We've been doing this from 2018. And so we're awarding 10 men throughout the Bahamas, some in one in Exuma, Eleuthera. So it's throughout the family island. It's not Nassau-centric. Chapel on the Hill, 3 p.m., there's an award ceremony. A number of persons we'll be awarding will be Dr. David Allen, Dr. Eric Fox, Mr. Omar Thompson. We call him Link Scavala. And a number of other young men we award. I'm sorry, I can't remember all of their names right now that we want to give an award to for the work that they have been doing. I think Reverend Anthony Sands from Prison Fellowship, Minister Hugh Roll. There's a sergeant and a police inspector. And so we want to award these men for work that they're doing in the community. They have gone unnoticed, and we want to highlight them. And the other thing, I want to invite persons out. Sunday, the Adventist Professionals having a free, and I want to understand this, it's a free health fair. I am encouraging as many as men, I specifically now speaking to us as men, C.A. Newry, come down, be a part of it. It begins at 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the Bahamas Academy school grounds. There's a free blood pressure check. There's free glucose. There's eyes. Persons will be checking your eyes, professionals, and as well as dentists. Now, that is limited, but I'm encouraging as much men to come out, be a part of it. It's a free event. Now, we all know, including me as the chief, we know as men, we don't like to go to the doctor and to the dentist. Right, my fear is always that I hate that part with the dentist and that sharp thing. But anyway, I plan to be there Sunday. So I just want to invite all the men out. 433-6917. 433-6917. If you desire any more information, you can contact me at that numbers. So tomorrow, I'm looking to meet me at sorry, at Lightburn Avenue, Farrington Wood. Right, by the washhouse. Don't meet me there. You ought to beat me there.
Amen. Thank you for doing all of this work, Mr. Williams. And I have to say, he is charismatic. Like he is.
Catherine,
like,
what you doing next week?
Yeah, he's a charismatic man.
I need to make
but
a
I have
booking.
To say quickly.
Yeah, I
the
want
only
to make
thing
a
I
booking
say
so we
this,
can continue this conversation.
This powerful, charismatic man keeps saying, everyone keeps saying, afraid, afraid, afraid. And I'm like, let's go to Kings in the Bible and say, be bold and show yourself to be a man, men. Lead us, protect us. Men do not tremble when truth
I'm
is
protected.
Men do not tremble when truth and justice is protected. They tremble when power is taken away. So I don't see trembling men here. I see brave men who are going to protect our women, protect our sons, protect our grandchildren, so that we have a nation we could stand globally proud of as a Christian, shining, just, fair, virtuous nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Good luck with your weekend.
Well, Catherine, I need to have continue this conversation with Dave William. And
well,
I want
one of
you
the
to
things,
be here because I need to get your perspective. Yeah. But what I want to
and
point
the question
out,
I would like to leave him with is because he was talking about men don't like go to the doctors and social health. It's a lot of things that keep coming up is like men should know your wives. If that if you have a healthy marriage, that won't happen. So where do we go to make sure that we're not fixing broken men, as Frederick Douglass would have said again? Where do we go? Do we start in high school with sex education? Do we say this is how you talk to your wife? This is how you talk to your husband. This is how you show respect. Does it happen in the church? Maybe it should happen in the homes, but where can we fill in so that when we get to marriage, we're not having these issues, that we have tools that can help us have healthy relationships?
I think as a matter of fact, on Justice Week, Saturday I was asked by a vice principal to start and they have numerous boys club at one of the primary schools. And I said, no problem. I said, most of my work has been with men, right, and young boys, but she's talking about from the primary age. So, and I'm going to
get them pipelined in.
Yes, I'm going to accept the invitation and start it. So you asked, where do we go? I think we ought to start from the primary school. As a matter of fact, I actually think, and I said this on the show before, Sir Lyndon Pinley was criticized when he talked about the National Youth Service. Mm-hmm. I was a young boy at BEC, 21 years old. I never forget that. Now, 30 years later, mm-hmm. I wish we did start. They call it, because I remember the person telling me, oh, Dave, that's for y'all. Y'all can join Pinley Army. I wish we did start a National Youth Service then.
Complete agreement. I think it would save our country.
Yes.
We need to talk about. I actually completely agree with you on that.
So we could start now. Let's go back. And this is why I try to live my life as an example. Let's go into the high schools. This with international men. The primary schools.
Because my second grade class, my son's already getting married. He got married a couple times in second grade. So we have to start early and get them the skills early.
Teaching them, like you said, I'll be open for an opportunity to come to the Ramfley home to talk with the boys. I've done some work in the past with the children's emergency hostel. So this is what we need. I've spoken at a number of schools, primary schools myself, right? Even with prison fellowship, because I've spent 20 something years in the prison. And so this is a part of prison fellowship preventative programs where we go into organizations like that, just talking. I have persons who were incarcerated before who share their story.
Yep, and the Harlem Project, which is 100% successful in Harlem, New York, for taking children out of poverty situations and broken family situations, has 100% success rate in getting them into college, but they start at 3. Because they realize the earlier you get them, the more they make it a natural act rather than an unnatural act to communicate, to talk, to attend church, to be involved with healthy sports and activities, to have community mentors like yourself. That is where the salvific nature of the family, where community parenting, where the real work of Christianity, where we're praying with our legs, not just with our mouths, where we're doing the Muhammad Ali of practicing good practices over and over till it leads to victory. That is where the work comes in. We got to get them early. So thank you for that work. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, and we got to bring the family back. You know, let's embrace this event with Urban Renewal is putting on next week, Thursday evening, where they go into the communities, identifying families and treating them to red carpet treatment, right? It's called embracing the family. So we got to bring the families together. Not the man or the woman or separate for the boy or the girl. Embracing the families. And this program that we have planned, you could imagine, both of you, imagine sitting down, the families, grandmother, the children, if it's a husband and a wife, everybody just sitting around the table.
Yeah, and when you said bring the family
together.
And, but I think you said the word bring the family back. So this is not an option. If we are going to save the soul of our nation, we have to have the family. Every social ill we have, whether it's care of the elderly, the answer is the family. Care of the youth, the family. The holes in education are de-average. The study and the support that happens within the family, within the homes, the support to teachers through parents. This is where the answer lies. To support that, to find a Christian stronghold that I'm happy to have led by strong Christian men who lead in a Christ-like way and love according to Corinthians, that is what we need to save the nation. So thank you for recognizing that.
Yes. Yeah. So before we go, clearly there is an anxiety about this possible law, mm-hmm. right? There are a number of men who are concerned. They are trying to say what their concerns are, but their concerns are not being addressed. Mm-hmm. I believe the majority of men in the Bahamas do not support marital rape. Is abhorrent. They understand that women in the marriage can be raped. However, they want a definition of what is the marital rape is, what constitutes for it, what is the number of years sentence, and what is any kind of mitigating circumstances regarding it. I believe there's a need for a conversation about that. There are a number of men who said, well, these are the things I do now, which is what I call reacting or flirting or cajoling my wife. I don't necessarily look at that as rape. And they may need to be educated as to their behavior. They may be need to be educated as what is would be accepted or what is wrong. And that conversation is not being held, right? Where there are men who say, but clearly that's not rape. If I wake up in the middle of the night and I start the process. And if my wife says no, whilst I start the process, and I say, man, wife, surely I deserve this because I do all of this, right? Surely that's not forced anymore. That's negotiating. And men want to have that discussion.
And that's why I think we need to talk about good Christian relationships, because why does that keep coming up as an example? What kind of relationship
because
are we
it's
in
important
that
to men.
Keep coming up as an example?
It's important to men, and men need to have that discussion and conclude on
they
it.
They need to be as, if not more, protected than women, because without the protection of men, as my husband told me this morning, anyone give you problems, I'll deal with it. That is what we need. Men to say, I'll deal with it, baby. You go ahead. Thank you good. So much for all your work, both of you fine men.
Good. This has been Guardian Radio AM in the morning. And thank you very much, Mr. Williams. And good luck with your program. Which day is it again? Which day?
Next, tomorrow is Rock Crusher. Friday is Monte Lights, the concert. And Saturday is the award ceremony at Chapel on the Hill.
Guardian Radio AM.
Don't forget the health program Sunday at Bahamas Academy School.
Take care. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.